And for today's podcast, I have a really awesome crew, music duo, well, music, how do I say this? Quartet?
Quartet?
Music group. Quartet, there's the word.
Yes.
Reverse. So Reverse describes themselves as a pop R&B group with the mission to represent the underrepresented. So they're basically really similar to what we're doing here on Keys to Talk Talk. They've been so blessed to do the work that they're doing, and their goal is to offer more visibility and uplift voices of communities that they're a part of. So there's different races, genders, sexual orientations, body types, religions, etc. In this group, but also that's what they're representing. There's no group like them. They offer such a diverse lineup and also high-quality music, live performance, and online content. They're motivated to create competitive work and be on the widest platform possible to show people who are similar to them that we are all beautiful, worthy, valued, and loved enough to see our dreams come true. Div and Khadeja, how are y'all doing today?
Hello. We are doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was driving and this is a crazy story. So I was hiking in the mountains and I was hiking and I was like, all right, cool. I can do the interview up here. I'm driving up PCH and there's service up here at the top of the mountain. And then I get to the top of the mountain and I realize that I'm out of water. So I could not host it up there. I had to run down the mountain, and then I had maybe 30 minutes until our interview, so I'm driving up the highway and I still have no service, and I'm but thankfully I found this little town literally right at the time of the interview, so I'm so happy that I got y'all on.
Yes, it worked out.
It's
the magic of believing, and I think that y'all know a lot about manifesting and things like that. So, I wanted to give y'all each some time to introduce yourselves, or introduce yourself, y'allselves. I like that. Introduce yourselves. So, we can just start with, this is the first time I've done it with two people, by the way.
Okay.
So start with whoever wants to kind of start first, if you always want to be the person that kind of starts first, that could kind of be the thing that y'all want to do.
So why don't we go in alphabetical order? And my name is Diz, so I'll start.
Yes,
Diz. Yes.
My name is Diz. I am 1/4 of, Toronto's pop R&B group Reverse. I am a singer, songwriter. I'm kind of the creative vision, creative director of the band. And I am highly melanated. I am queer. I am a hippie, and I love music, and I love my team, and I am just a unicorn.
Yes.
Okay, but I love that. I know him, and I'm still ooh.
I'm oh my God, this person. I'm okay.
So funny.
Khadeja, are you ready? Because I'm already blown away. All right.
Oh gosh, I had a lot to live up to. Okay, so I am Khadeja. I am also 1/4 of Toronto pop R&B quartet Reverse. Within Reverse, I do rap vocals. I also am Diz and I kind of hold down the dance choreography. All four of us dance, but Diz and I are dancers from long time, so we kind of hold down that side of Reverse. And I also Diz and I have been working together for over a decade. So I do a lot of he has the creative ideas and then he brings it to me and I'm okay, here's how we make it happen.
Implementer.
Yes. That's me. Also highly melanated and also queer and also maybe not a unicorn. What would I be? I don't know.
and the baddest bitch.
And the baddest bitch.
Oh, yes. I literally had chills throughout the whole song that y'all shared with me, and I need to do this better. All right. So they have this song, y'all, called Stand Up. You can check it out on YouTube and Reverse,
Spotify.
Spotify too. Where else? tell us. iTunes?
SoundCloud.
Yes. Okay.
And yes, iTunes.
Pretty much any of those platforms, please check them out. Give them a follow. But yeah, for sure. They sent me Stand Up, and I don't know. There's just like, there's so many emotions behind it because of the time that I was doing it too. Bullying, and I had just done so much protesting. I felt like I protested like all over the world.
Wow.
In Philadelphia. And then I went down to Richmond, where my mother lives, and I did protests down there, where we had, like, the statues taken down, and, like, all of these, like, huge things happened, which was amazing, you know, to be a part of that. But it was also super draining on my body. You know, I didn't realize that. You know, it felt good at the time. I'm like, I miss people, and this is great. Like, we're all out here, and we're saying fuck the system. And, you know, as also a fellow hippie unicorn, I love saying fuck the system. But also,
yes.
Love, you know? So I love that all of the protests were pretty much peaceful, you know? At least they led to that. And that is really, like, that. I think that what you're doing, too, with your music, like, Stand Up, that is another way of a peaceful protest. And I've also listened to a podcast recently where they were talking about, like, music and its importance in how it, like, affects your DNA, how it affects your day, how it affects basically a lot of things in your life. And so, I swear, when I heard this song, I was like, yo, okay. And then Khadija came out with the rap verse for, like, a whole band. I was like, yo, okay. I'm like, I might need to memorize this and start rapping it. And I'm like, okay.
Oh.
I'm coming out here with these. Yes. Like, I felt that femme energy. I was like, this is powerful. And I love that y'all are doing this all together, because you all have, like, such different sounds, but you still can create a song together. And it's, like, it's so different, you know? Usually you see, like, you have, like, Beyonce, and then she'll have, like, her people behind her. Or you'll see, like, this person has people behind them. But y'all, like, incorporate that. And I'm going to give y'all some time to talk now, because I'm just, like, super excited about this. But, yeah, share with us about Stand Up and how y'all came to create that song.
So Stand Up, it really was inspired by Childish Gambino's This Is America. That is a song that when that record was released, it really, really spoke to me. And this was when 2016? When was This Is America released? I believe that was like 2016 or 2017. I can't remember. I feel like it was 2016. But
right now.
Yes, please check. But yeah,
I'm like, girl, don't
just to verify the facts.
No, 2018.
Oh wow, This Is America.
Early
2018. Never mind. So 2018. This Is America. I heard it, and I was obsessed, and it was just I felt super connected to Gambino's message and everything that the song was speaking about, and even especially the vibe and the energy of the music production, and then the video was a whole other beast. So I really was studying that whole project, and I know that I wanted to create something musically for us that was speaking to the same subject matter, obviously being people of color, the people of color within the group. Our other two band members are Italian and Arabic. Khadija and I have had similar experiences, just with, you know, racism, a lot of the things that people of color have to face in this world. And I felt it was very important that Reversed had a record that spoke to this. But it wasn't until I believe sometime later that year, I was at a party of an artist that I used to dance backup for, and a producer there that was a mutual friend. We started talking about music. He had shared with me some of his production, and I heard a beat that gave me the energy that I felt was a similar energy to what I felt listening to This Is America. So once I heard that, the lyrics just flowed out. And it really was particularly the murder of Sandra Bland and Philando Castile that really was kind of at the forefront of my mind during the time that I was writing this song. Like there was something about those particular stories that resonated with me for a long time, and that was kind of like the inspiration behind really kind of getting out the story that needed to be told in the song Stand Up. So that's really where it came from, and it is a song that we planned on just putting on our upcoming album Poison Ivy. It was just going to be a song on the album, and really and truly, once we were in the middle of the pandemic, and the Ahmaud Arbery story came out. And it was, I usually try not to watch any videos where I'm seeing my people being killed. But this video came up, it was on Twitter, and I happened to see the footage. I'm sure you've seen this as well. It just completely broke me. But not broke me in a way that was defeat. It was a visceral anger and a visceral reaction. Emotions, everything was visceral. And I was like, absolutely not. This is disgusting. It has been disgusting. But this particular situation really was like, we have to do something about this now. And like we were talking about earlier, for us, it was, okay, well, we're in Canada. We face racism. It is very much here, but it's not on the level that it's happening in America. And so the four of us were like, what can we do being in this country? We're on lockdown, but how can we still say something that means something to us to speak out against this? And so we literally were like, you know what? We are going to release this song. We're going to put this song out. It's no longer just going to be a song on the album. We're going to put it out. We're going to shoot a video. And we're going to make our peaceful protest in the form of this song and video release. And it's not the most commercial. It's not Reverse's necessarily our, like, sound, quote-unquote. But it was like, fuck that. Like, we're this message from us needs to come out. And the biggest part of that is, we have a YouTube, an online platform, where there's almost 500,000 people that follow us and watch what we do. And we've seen that there are literally all people of all races and backgrounds and everything from around the world that watch us. And we were like, they are able to witness four very different people who a lot of them can see themselves represented in. The four of us are together. Talking about this issue, we might be able to impact those who might not see it the way that, say, Khadijah and I might see it. They might be able to see it differently if they're also hearing the message being delivered through somebody like a beautiful blonde, blue-eyed white girl and a white-passing, handsome white man. They might listen to them differently. They might hear it. They might connect to it simply because it's coming from them. And so that was another driving force behind doing the video and having us be featured in the video. And we basically decided to go downtown Toronto and take all precautions with the masks and the hand sanitizers and whatever in the middle of the pandemic and in the middle of a racial pandemic and shoot this video and put it out. And so that is the long, drawn-out story of how stand-up came to be.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, sharing a little backstory. I wanted to hold a moment of silence, really, just for, you know, all the people that have been affected by brutality and all of the people who, you know, just need a moment to just kind of sit in silence. So we'll just take a moment here. Yeah. wonderful.
Thank you so much. Can I tell on myself a little bit?
Yes, please.
I was really nervous before this, maybe like an hour ago. I've been so excited about doing this interview with you all week. And then like an hour ago, I got really nervous because I was like, I've just been in this like very emotional place for the last couple of days. Like I think everything with Breonna Taylor and like the lack of justice and kind of protests getting this new kind of energy behind them. And I've just been so emotional. And I was like, am I going to get on this podcast and just be crying the whole time? Like, I don't want to do that. But sitting there in that moment with the two of you right now, I was like, but it's necessary. It's so important for us to connect and kind of share in these emotions together because it is hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And I feel that, you know, there's a – and thank you for expressing, you know, that – that and like also facing your fears, you know, that is, or not facing your fears, but really going in the direction of something that feels uncomfortable, you know, and kind of finding comfort within that. And, you know, I learned that a lot from my cat. Ironically, like my cat will be falling asleep on like the most ironic, like weird things. And I'm just like, how are you sleeping like that? And, you know, cats are like phenomenal at finding comfort in uncomfortable situations. So, you know, and thinking about like how cats are connected to us as Black and Brown people in Africa and, you know, all of that, you know, there's probably a lot to be said about, you know, finding that comfort in our situations, you know, like that's been kind of our, that's kind of been our lives, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
And yeah, I love that.
When white folks come to Black and Brown areas and they feel uncomfortable, they try to change it to make it more comfortable for them. Instead of them finding the space to adapt to the space, they change the space so that the space adapts to them.
Yeah,
and that's where we find a lot of conflict, and that's where we find a lot more racial tensions. You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think yeah, it's definitely hard work, and I want to touch back on your anger and how you channeled that. That's what we need to do, really. Taking our anger, and I've been working so hard with this emotion of anger just because she is prevalent in me. I am raised by a Brooklynite. My mother is straight up from Brooklyn, and Brooklyn before it is what it is now. Brooklyn is definitely the same now, but my mom is from Brooklyn. I believe she's from, she's from Bushwick. She's from Bushwick, and I'm raised by that. Like, even though she took me to Albany, and I was up there or whatever, and then that's where I was born, and then she took me to Long Island, I still was raised by someone from the hood, you know? And so with that, like, as they say, you can take someone out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the person. Like, I didn't really realize that I was raised that way, though. Like, I didn't really see it until, like, I was in these white schools, and then there were certain words that I would say, and people would correct me, and, like, I didn't realize a lot of the microaggressive ways that people were being racist towards me, you know, until years later. And, you know, it's interesting, though, that anger, you know, that anger that people have from the hood was within me, and, like, you know, as I grew up and I've had roommates and different things and, you know, being in a very white world, you know, a lot of the people that I've been roommates with were white and, you know, they'd be like, there's this angry Black woman energy that you just have and I don't really understand it. And even for them to say that was like a lot, but at the same point, like, it was really interesting how they could see coming out of me, you know, and then whoever was before that. And so, like, this anger, though, when we learn to channel it, that is, like, a part of our evolution, I believe, you know, like, when we 100%. Channel anger instead of using our anger to go and get back at someone, if we allow the universe to take care of whatever that person needs, you know, and then we move forward, and, you know, we take care of our own needs, or we take care of our own needs and also help the greater world, you know, I think that there's more space. And I think that there's more energy for healing. And that's really what we're here to do, is heal. But white folks be trying to do whatever it takes to make healing pause.
Yes. You know what? Oh, go ahead, Khadija.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's been a really big part of 2020 for me, and watching protests and kind of like this, the conversation that white people consistently will be the ones that I hear being like, but why are they so angry and why is it so violent? Violence is never going to change anything. And like going out and yelling and being so aggressive is not the way to get any change to happen. But like, for me, I've been finding so much healing in like other people's anger. And my social media feed now has been tailored to like only the people who are on the front lines yelling and being angry and posting every day, like just venting, because that is like that kind of what you said about that angry black woman energy. Like, it took me until 2020 to realize that I run from that. Like, within reverse, we always talk about how Khadija is the one who's like, I'm so calm, and I always am the one who can like diffuse a situation, and I know how to speak to people without like, I'm the one who gets everybody to calm down, and I can say what needs to be said without being rude or turning up or whatever. And I'm like, that's something that I've worked on really, really hard, because I don't ever want to be discredited for being the emotional black woman. Mm-hmm, and I'm like, but why the fuck not? Because I'm pissed. Like, why can't I be angry? I'm angry. But I'm like living for everybody's anger online right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Sorry. I was going to say, the channeling of anger, like, definitely for me, it's putting it in the music, it's putting it in the song, but it also is sometimes me being in my bedroom and yelling at my TV screen, or just, no, for real, or just yell, just cussing into by myself in my apartment, because I have to let it out. And all the time, every time I do it, I feel terrible. I always then ask the universe for forgiveness. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to say these things, but I have to let it go, because otherwise it festers. If it's not going to be channeled through the music in that moment, it has to be released. Mm-hmm. And I found myself at one point, and this is the thing, I mean, everybody that knows me knows I am the farthest thing from prejudice. Everything that reverses about, that I'm about, has always been, how do we bring people of all different everything together? Mm-hmm. However, in all the things that I've seen and read and heard and experienced, has bubbled up to the surface in 2020 in particular. And I have found myself, despite having Caucasian bandmates, and my boyfriend is white, and, you know, my best friend is white, like all those different, I found myself, there was one particular day where I literally yelled, I'm like, I fucking hate white people. Mm-hmm. And I said it out loud, and I sat in it, and I was like, okay, so we all know that that's not the truth. However, right now, from what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, this needed to be said. And I made sure, there was a party that I went to, sorry, not a party, a gathering with a really, really good friend of mine. And I ended up staying late at the party, and I didn't even know these people. My friend that brought me to the party, they ended up leaving, and I was like, well, I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep turning up. So I stayed at the party, and it was me and in a circle of white people who I didn't know. And they were all of them there were having a discussion about all of this stuff, all of what's been happening in the world, and George Floyd, and Breonna Taylor, and black people being killed, and indigenous people, like all of that, this stuff, America murdering and stealing land and looting, you know, all of that stuff, slavery, they were all talking about it. And I'm sitting there like, this is so interesting. Like, they are all having this discussion. I'm like, but none of you really know. None of you really know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Not that they didn't know what they were talking about, because a lot of them, they knew factual things. They knew, but I'm like, there's no experience. There's no actual experience here of what you guys are talking about in terms of your, I guess, defense of black people. And at one point, I chimed in and I was like, you know what, guys? I have something to tell you guys. I go, what I told you guys right now, I am not racist. I live my life literally about, it's all about bringing people together and helping the world see that we are the same. That the skin color and body type and age and sexuality and all those different things don't mean a damn thing. I said, however, the other day I was at home and I was seeing and hearing a lot of stuff and I yelled out, I fucking hate white people. And I sat there, they all were silent and looked at me and I sat there in silence with them. Wow, I just let them hear that. And I said to them, I'm only sharing this with you guys because for somebody whose life is dedicated to the complete opposite, this is where 2020 has brought me.
Yeah.
This is how bad it is. That somebody who is all about love and acceptance of all types of people can yell out in their bedroom by themselves that they hate white people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted them to, I said it because I wanted them to understand how traumatic this has been, not only this year, but for the entire existence of black people and people of color at the hands of Caucasian people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated the fact that nobody there had a rebuttal. Nobody there got crazy. They just kind of were less like, silence. And it's a moment that I will always remember because it's so out of my character to even have those words come out of my mouth. You know what I mean?
You said they were silent?
Pardon me?
You said they were silent?
They were silent. Once I said that, they were completely silent. And we just sat in silence. And I made sure not to jump back in with, oh, but no, don't worry, I'm not. I just let it be there for a moment.
That's really interesting. As you were telling that story, there was a little part of me that was like waiting for the moment that one of these well-intentioned, good-hearted white people was about to come and be like, but how can you say that?
No, none of them did. None of them did. They just let it. I think it was shocking for them because they heard what I said. I prefaced it with, you know, I let them know who I really am, like I told you guys about, you know, what I stand for, what I really stand for. And also their interaction with me throughout the party was, you know me when I'm at a party. I'm dancing. I'm having a great time. I'm dancing with them, even if I don't know you. So they were interacting with somebody who their interaction was something completely different to what I was saying to them in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was probably very jarring for their souls, for their spirits, to hear that coming out of my mouth. But like I said, it was necessary because I was hearing them talk nonstop about stuff that I was like, wow, like y'all have some opinions about something that you know very little about because you're Caucasian. Like, how could you possibly know? You know what I mean? So after hearing all of that, I just had to just jump in with one little dash of salt and just let them know.
Just let them know.
Even though this is not my truth, this is what 2020 has had me declaring in my apartment building. Somebody who loves everybody, this is what it has brought me to. Let's sit in this for a minute. So it was real, and I don't regret any moment of it because I know my truth and I know what's in my heart, but I needed to tell the truth, right, in that moment, and I did.
Yeah. Well, I love that you are taking the space to express yourself, even though, you know, like, maybe these white people should be paying you to stand there and tell them and teach them these things.
Hey.
But that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
I've given a lot of free multicultural training, and I think that, you know, if a white person, like I was saying before, healing with them costs money, and like, yeah, I don't want to play their game, but also at the same time, it's like, we live in your world right now, where money, you know, makes the world go round. So you need to pay me if I'm taking my energy to teach you something about yourself.
Yeah.
And your people.
Yeah.
And, like, not your people, but the people that look like you and that act like you, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also wanted to jump back into how you channeled your anger. And I think that's why it's so important for you to find yourself, you know, because when you find yourself, you can figure out your own ways to channel anger. And then from there, you can be more readily available to assist in the healing of others. And so, you know, as Black and Brown people, we need to find ways to channel that anger because we are healers. And we've been taken away from that, you know, what basically once we came from Africa and we were in those slave ships and we were slaves, we've had that slave mentality. And that's why you see gangs. That's why you see a lot of violence and et cetera, because we were brought up from that. That's where we came from. We came from violence, you know, in a way, like, at least in this country. And but we really come from love, and we really come from all those principles of, like, you know, living in balance with nature. And we feel disconnected in this world, in this you know, what is it, first world or third world? I don't remember which, or the first world. Yeah, we feel, you know, fucked up in this first world. And, you know, it's kind of like, what does that even mean, like, first world versus a third world country? And, like, why is that this country has all these? We have so many resources. We have too many resources. Like, I can go into a fucking store and decide which kind of water I want. If my water has electrolytes in it. If my water has bubbles in it or not. Maybe half the bubbles. Like, what the fuck? There's people that literally have to hike miles just to get, like, the dirtiest water that they, like, it's dirty water. Yeah. And they're hiking for it. And they're grateful for that. And it's kind of like, we have a hard time as a society, and this is kind of talking about us all, but really this is stemming from whiteness, though. Like, as a society, we are ungrateful, you know? And I think that it takes a lot of mindfulness to find gratitude in the small things. And I also wanted to touch into that I personally don't believe that Black people can be, or Black and Brown people can be racist, because I believe that racism stems from power. And, you know, from that, you know, you're not racist at all, and you never can be in my eyes, but prejudice does exist, and prejudice is a real thing. Black people can be prejudiced, and that's okay, though, because look at the world that we live in, you know, we're working through that. You know, and prejudice is an effect that happens from the cause of white people already seeing us as different. You know, they saw us since we were kids. So it's like this circle of, like, violence that, like, once we as Black and Brown people take a step out of it, they don't know what to do. Look at the protests when we, like, didn't continue the cycle of violence. They wanted us to burn down all the cities. They wanted us to, you know, keep breaking windows. They wanted that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They got fucking confused. And then
they did it themselves.
Right, yep. And then they're like, let's put a Black Lives Matter flag on our house and on our store so that people think that we're a part of this because we need to choose a side. And it's like, no, you need to wake the fuck up. There is no side.
Yeah.
There's just what's right and what's wrong. And stop doing what's wrong.
Simple. Yep.
Thank you for letting me share.
it's so interesting. I've been, and Khadija knows this, I at one point, and even up until now, I've been avoiding, this is where my privilege comes into play here. Like, I've been avoiding all things that have been, you know, all things, what's happening right now, in terms of the racial pandemic and this whole situation right now, because I became absolutely overwhelmed. I became absolutely overwhelmed with it. I could not mentally handle seeing or hearing or reading about any more of it. Like, it became way too much for me. And this is the first time that I'm kind of engaging in this, I'm speaking about this again. And I'm realizing as this conversation is happening, like, how important this is right now to speak on this again, because I'm listening to both of you guys speak, and I'm just like every word that's coming out of your mouth, I'm just like, yes. this is literally what is in my subconscious every single day, every single moment. Like, it's there. As much as I'm avoiding touching on it, it's there at every turn. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, like, that, you said this is your privilege, but I'm like, I think it's so important right now for Black people to understand that, like, that isn't privilege, that is self-care. Because for a white person, they can avoid it, they can ignore it, and literally it just doesn't exist for them. For us, we can turn off our TVs and turn off our phones because we can't consume any more of the, like, violence and racism and hatred and hurt, but it still lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
that, we have to step away from it sometimes because it's a lot. And I think to be really, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, be really gentle
right.
with ourselves and to really, like, give ourselves the space to step away and not be overwhelmed by it, because this shit can, like, destroy you.
And that is so real. I think I was going to touch in on that too, Khadija. It's like, it is self-care, and self-care is the biggest form of protest you can do. It's interesting how that, to some people, that won't make any sense at all. And, you know, the true meaning behind that, though, is that, like, you have to be able to take care of yourself in order for you to take care of other people. And that kind of ties back into what I was saying before about channeling your anger, like, taking care of yourself, finding ways to do that so that you can be there to help the whole. So that's what you were doing. You know, you're cutting that off. And to say that's a privilege, I guess it is a privilege in a way to, like, you know, have legs, have an arm, have the ability to, like, touch buttons. There's a privilege there, but still what you were saying, I personally couldn't see that as being a privilege, because you can't turn off being Black, you know?
Nope.
Even if we, like, lighten our skin, we still have features. Even if we whatever, put contact in, make our hair look straight, like, we don't need to
Black.
Do that, first of all, you know? But either way, if people are doing that, you're still Black to them, you know? Like, there is no change, there's no difference, you know? They still see it. They're like, well, this person's something, even, like, mixed folks. And so it's like, what are our real privileges, really? And then from our privileges as Black and brown people, how can we find gratitude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
mm-hmm.
for me, like, right now I'm traveling up the West Coast. I turned my car into a little camper.
So awesome.
It's pretty badass, I'd say. I've been, like, waking up on the side of, like, cliffs every day and just, like, overcoming a lot of fears of being alone in the middle of nowhere. And I went for, like I said, that 4-mile hike all by myself. And, you know, it's just kind of like, I'm working to decolonize, you know, solo travel, decolonize traveling the West Coast, decolonize hiking, decolonize camping. You know, people kind of look at you interestingly when you're a Black and brown person with pink nail polish, you know, male body persisting, walking through the forest.
You better.
Like, what's going on here? And I'm like, hey.
Yes, I love it.
And, you know, I think, you know, from me doing this self-care, though, you know, my partner didn't really understand it at first, but he was accepting of it. And I was like, babe, like, I have to go for, like, I don't know how long, a month or two at least. I'm going to just be living on the road and just kind of connecting to my spirit and, you know, taking the time to really heal. And what does healing look like? It looks different for every person, you know. For some people, healing is always being in a group setting with other people, and then for others, healing is being alone, isolated in the middle of the woods, you know, and that's okay. Like, we all have different ways to do that, but tapping into our privileges, you know, tapping into our privileges and finding gratitude, I think that's really the important part. And with white folks, they utilize their privileges to help other white folks, but they don't utilize their privileges to help, you know, the collective whole. And, you know, I made a post recently in the San Diego Conscious Housing group, and I basically, the post was just kind of like, hey, y'all, like, there's a lot of just, like, racist stuff going on. What did I say? Hold on, let me look at this. Oh, no, sorry. I said, hey, y'all, in light of the news that happened with Breonna Taylor, like y'all need to fucking really pay reparations. Like, y'all need to wake up, open your eyes, and, like, instead of, like, putting Black Lives Matter signs on your fucking yard, y'all need to start opening up your wallet and start, you know, doing the work. And from there, a lot of people just, like, were like, oh, like, there was so much, like, backlash comments because it's a very white group. But you wouldn't think that because it's a conscious group, right? But people were just like, oh, like, this doesn't even make any sense, and da da da, and like, all these people just kind of, like, retorting, and I'm just, like, sitting here in silence, just like, wow, like, looking at all these comments. And, it's scary how all of this happened, and yet still, like, the white people that aren't doing the work are just continuing on. Like, they're just like, whatever, this doesn't matter, and, like, so, like, what do we need to do in order to make change? And I think it's just kind of what we're continuing to do is also, like, self-care, though. That's really important. And so, like, finding space to heal yourself, you know, and then when you're out there and you're on top of your shit, nobody can say shit to you because you took care of yourself. You have all your energy in check. You know, somebody can try to bring you down, but you'll be right back up. And, you know, I think that's another part of that self-care. You find self-empowerment, and through self-empowerment, you can really make big changes. Like, look at Martin Luther King, look at Malcolm X. You know, they had different styles of doing their work, but the work was still done.
I love it.
This is wonderful. You're wonderful. I'm like, just listening to you talk about, like, going off into the wilderness by yourself and waking up on cliffs and shit. I'm like, oh, this is the life I want to live right now.
Courage. That's all all I hear is courage, bravery, independence, free spirit, intelligence. Like that. That's a lot of strength. On the surface, it's like, oh, you know, whatever, you're just driving along. No, that's a big deal. And I'm literally sitting here listening to you. And you know what's funny? This might sound weird, but particularly for me, like hearing, like as a black person doing this, like, that to me, I'm even more like, wow, like, wow. You know what I mean? It's that like, you hear about white people camping and driving all the time. Because they've always been free to move around, right? They've always been free to move around any which way they want to go. And maybe me being so surprised or so, like, marveling at you doing this, like, driving around and being on cliff sides and then camping, and maybe that's a part of my slave mentality, you know, that has been passed along because, you know, we were not doing that. We couldn't go anywhere, you know, and when we did, we were hunted down. But hearing you do that, I'm literally like my jaw. I'm like, wow, I admire that so much. And just fantastic. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. definitely a lot of moments where I'm like, all right, like, I gotta get out my car to pee and it's really dark and I can't really see. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then I go outside, and I see, and everything's okay. And I'm like, all right, I can do this. And, like, there's definitely what I'm learning is, like, all right, if I see, like yesterday I saw a random car just sitting on the side of a cliff, with like a sign on it that said need gas, but just looked really sketchy. And I've just been learning to listen to my gut more so than just like being like, oh, I can help everyone because I can't. Lo and behold,
yeah.
The gas station that I found later down the road was like maybe 50 miles away, 40 miles away, and it was $7 a gallon for gas because it's in the middle of nowhere and it's California and they're trying to get you. And I was like, wow, like even if I tried to help that person, like there was no way because I didn't really have gas myself. So I was like,
yeah.
And I think I spent like $40 on half of a tank in my little compact car. So I was like, let me get my half tank and I'm gonna let that ride until I get to some normal, you know, gas is like $3 to $4 a gallon here. But you know, that's $6. I was like looking at it and I was like,
side eye.
I tried to put in like 1 gallon at first and I was like, oh my god. And I turned on the car and the car. But literally the mileage, the electric mileage stayed the same, and I was like, oh, all right, let me just do four gallons. And so it got me up to 200 miles. So,
okay.
Yeah, there is a lot of bravery needed for this, and we are brave people. You know, we walk through the hood, we walk through, you know, different spaces, we walk through white spaces. We are also very brave. It's just kind of how do we connect to the things that we used to connect to and find our own bravery in, you know?
Because
it seems like, you know, a lot of white folks go into the woods and they find themselves and they're like, yo, like, just meditate, man, and like, just let your instinct and like, just do this and everything will be okay. And it's like, no, bitch, why don't you stop taking up space? Why don't you take a moment to listen to my pain and suffering, and also why don't you understand that healing is not fucking a happy skip around kumbaya circle. Like, healing is crying at night. Healing is realizing that you can be a monster. Healing is doing the work to change that, you know? And we all have different, and not saying that we're monsters, but just saying that sometimes other things that people had within them, they are conditioned into us, and we have to kind of take space and look at ourselves and realize, like, oh, okay, this is actually who I am. Like, whoever I was becoming is not who I am, but I feel like when we're by ourselves and when we take that time to really reflect, we figure out who we are. And, you know, as you were saying before, we are love.
And 100%.
And so when we say we hate white people, what we're saying is that there's an absence of love for white people. And you know what? I understand that. Why should we give them love after they've given us all, like, they don't support us, you know, even if it's just, you know, it's all in the statistics, but even in the statistics, it's in our experiences. Like, how about you stop looking at statistics all the time and listen to what we have to say too? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Listen to the survivors. Like, listen to the people that you've been abusing, you know? And we've been abused, and we've abused, and our abuser is shutting us up and silencing us, and we're not allowing it anymore. And we're telling them that their silence is violence, you know? And that, but then we're also telling them to shut the fuck up when we're talking, because they need the fucking listen, and that's important.
Yeah. I think that really is, for me, the best kind of, the most hopeful thing for me about 2020 has been the fact that these conversations are happening and that people are understanding that, like, it's not enough to just say, I'm not actively prejudiced against black people. Like, that's cute. That's fun. Thanks for not being an asshole to me. But what I need you to do now is go out and talk to all your family and talk to all your other white friends and go to your employer, go to the CEO of your company. Like, go have these conversations and actively do the work, because we've been doing it, and obviously it's not enough. Y'all need to do it now. Don't come talk to me. Like, that's the shut the fuck up part. Don't come talk to me. I don't want to hear it anymore. Go talk to everybody else.
And that is part of their privilege, too. It's like, you as a white person can speak white language. And what does that mean?
Yes.
Well, that means that when you stand in front of a group of white people, they are more readily able to listen and understand you because they see black and brown people as uneducated, and they see black and brown people as aggressive, and however the fuck else that they see us.
Mm-hmm.
But when they see you, though, as an ally, and you speak and you share, you know, the things that we've shared with you, then there's space for them to maybe take it in, you know? And I'm not going to say they're always going to take it in now, because there's a lot of fucking, I've talked to a lot of white people that have, like, been like, yeah, my parents suck, dude. Like, I've tried to tell them everything, and they just don't get it. And you know what? That's fine, you know? There's some people that aren't going to get it, and you know what? People that aren't going to get it, I think that if we keep wasting our time trying to make them get it, it's just going to, like, train us. And so that's another part where that self-care comes in. Where can we then work on ourselves and kind of find gratitude? Like, well, at least I get this. At least I understand. And there's more people like me. And through communication, we find that there's a bigger group of us. And that big group of us, there's power in numbers, you know? Even though there's, like, conservatives, and then there's liberals, and then there's the people in between, you know, there's still, like, this collective whole that's kind of in control, you know, and we kind of have to connect back to that. And we are, with these protests and with all the work that's happening now, finding that, yeah, the power is in the people. It always has been, but we have to stop feeding the system so much. And, you know, it's a tough battle, you know, and white people that, like, live in the woods and stuff, they get how to, like, eat the system and, like, in a way. And they have taken the things that we gave them as indigenous people, and they've put a pedestal, or not even a pedestal, but they gatekeep knowledge.
Yeah.
And they gatekeep, you know, all of these things, and they make it seem like black people don't hike, black people don't camp, black people don't go outside, black people don't go to the beach, black people don't da, 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 da. Black people are in jail, black people are this, da, da, da. And it's just kind of like, no, bitch, like, we're changing that, and actually, black people do this, and black people do that, and all people do all different types of things, or all people should be able to do all types of things, and it's kind of like, how do we break down those systems, and then also, how do white people open up their wallets, but also open up your wallet, that really means, like, there's so many different things, like, opportunities for black people, even just doing the work of speaking to a boss, or like you said, could you just speaking to your CEO about, like, the issues that are going on and continuing to do that work. And, you know, I think that white people should continue to talk to white people that don't get it. But I think that for black and brown people, I want to rephrase that. We don't need to keep doing that. White people are all going to have to keep drilling it in. I don't care. That's what I told my white friend, too. I was like, well, keep saying it. Keeps telling them, kind of like when you're off, like, put your seatbelt on, 5 minutes later, why didn't you seatbelt on? Put your seatbelt on, you know, and, like, eventually you get it, hopefully, and if not, I'm still going to tell you put your freaking seatbelt on, and you might get popped once in a while, but hey, you know, put your damn seatbelt on. I hope that these white people learn how to put their damn seatbelts on, Jesus.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Me too.
Oh, good. But I wanted to leave y'all because we only have a few more moments left in the interview, and I wanted to leave y'all some space to share how people can reach out to you, how people can support you, if there's a space for people to donate or anything like that, how we can put some money in your pocket. This is time for that, so, yeah, the stage is yours.
Yes, so we can be found on all social media, like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything, at Reverse Live, RIVERSE Live. And honestly, the best support, as much as it sounds corny, but the best support is just supporting our content, sharing, go listen to our song, share our song with other people. Like, this, for us, it's more than just the music. It is a message, and it is again, whatever we can do to offer some sort of, like, encouragement or upliftment or, like, positivity, whatever. So sharing it, that's the best support possible. I mean, if you want to put some money in our pockets, we do have a Patreon, again, Reverse Live. There is a donation on our Spotify page that you can directly go there, and it'll go to our PayPal. Yeah, and we actually have on our YouTube store, you go to our YouTube page and on our store, we have merchandise that we sell. So you can buy reverse merch, and that will support us, or we have a stand-up line. When we released the song, we released merch that has stand-up, the stand-up logo on it and quotes from the song, and money from those sales are going towards supporting protesters at Black Lives Matter protests. So we are supporting bail funds for all those people on the front lines who are getting arrested for some, like, fucked up, stupid charges to say, hey, at least we can somehow contribute. So that is a great way to go and support. It's supporting us support our protesters.
Yes.
Thank you so much for all those resources. That's a there's so many different ways that y'all can get out there and find Reverse. And yes, I love the work that you're doing, giving back to the community. And it's super important. It's just kind of like, it comes naturally for us again as Black brown people just to give back, you know, because we understand where our success comes from, and it's from a collective happiness, a collective, you know, goal. There's a collective goal here. I thank y'all so much for taking the time and space to open up maybe some hearts today, but definitely some minds.
Thank you for having us. This has been wonderful.
It has been really, really fantastic. And we just want to say to you, the work that you're doing is incredible. You having this platform and speaking about these issues, it is so necessary. It's so needed. Please continue doing the amazing work that you're doing. And also be safe on your journey. Just have a great time. Discover all that you are meant to discover, but definitely keep safe.
Thank you so much. And thank you all again for tuning in to QTPOC Talks. This is your host, Al Rare, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye!
Black Lives Matter!
Black Lives Matter!
Black Lives Matter!
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers!
Stand up, motherfuckers!
Stand up, motherfuckers!
Stand up, motherfuckers!
I'm a broke nigga, but not a bitch nigga. Got over 30 on my back, check the seats, nigga. I'm a good nigga, 10-gallon nigga. You ain't about to take me out like a ditch, nigga. I've been blooming since that 8-4 year. Call of Duty requires me to remain here. So please, selling couch, return that gun to your holster sack. I ain't ready to die, pop your shit and leave out the back.
Take an L and be gone. Ain't nobody done wrong. No suspect drama awaiting. The heat is on in Saigon. No standing over your song. We take the Tony for best prelude.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
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 man. We got a problem with the man. Why he really mad?
Okay, oh, okay now. She on that childish glow, now. No play, play, don't play with my child. Future at risk, as per these clowns. Banging up on my black brothers on the one. It's a mood, get into it, J&B on the run. Two snaps and I'm presto, Alakazam stunts. She a lion with a cup, do you think I'm fucking dumb? Trick, ha, laugh it up, that's the joke of the day. We ain't running nowhere, it's time to rate, take, take. Because a broken tail light, don't call for guns ablaze. Let a bitch slap facts on it, propagate. Philando, Mighty Mando, kid in the back, riding with his family, Geronimo attacks. Seven shots, close range for the simple fact. Bank heist suspect and Lando was black.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
This ain't the reaping, but the streets is leaking. Blood of our brothers is a real thing.
If you can't withstand, then follow the plan.
No attack, no threat, though. Building up that backbone. Silent protest in the end zone. Blast this shit for the back row. For the back row.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Stand up, motherfuckers.
Y'all took that oath on your heart. Protect and serve all of us. Memory must be escaping you. No amount of damage control can save the life.